Fear does not exist in this dojo. Pain does not exist in this dojo. We do not train to be merciful here. This is a place of learning. This is a place of knowledge. For years we've gotten from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. And now it's time for us to get back.
It'll open up a way for us to talk about all kinds of martial arts movies. There's also like no way to not compare those instantly to Karate Kid.
Man, face you, he is your enemy, and the enemy deserves no mercy. We teach the way of the mic. Welcome to Dojo 9.
You know, again, getting to the Sam stuff, the Sam portion of that.
Yeah.
I didn't really buy the arc of her being afraid. Again, you know, not to backtrack on what we were saying. She beat Tori in the first fight.
Yes.
I don't know why she'd be afraid of her.
On her home turf. That was what pissed me off the most. I'm like, this is your
house
now.
Yeah.
She invaded your fucking house.
I will say she had one really good moment this season. I hope they can kind of build on that a little bit, maybe. But where she's, you know, the show, the looks that she got when she got back from school and her explaining it's different for a girl and stuff like that felt very real to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I definitely thought was quite poignant. But, you know, getting back to her in the Deck the Hall brawl. I mean, I like her at her best when she's fighting. I think she's very good at the fight scenes and stuff like that. And the rivalry with her and Tori in season two, I love the way they built to it. And, you know, you really could understand both sides of that for me. I was still a little more Team Tori, and I probably still am. But that's, a whole nother story.
Yeah.
For me, I liked Hawk's turn.
Yeah.
Even though it, you know,
very
felt
late.
It, you know, kind of came a little out of nowhere. Like, it, I don't know.
Too little and too late. Very, very late.
I could see certain points throughout the season that there was definitely a look in the eye that, in the eyes of Hawk, that was telling me that he knows that this is wrong. And I think at that fight, Sam's house, he finally saw that, you know, his lifetime friends were actually getting severely beaten. And I think at that point, it finally hit him that, yeah, this is definitely wrong. And I think, I don't know if you guys noticed throughout the season, but there's just certain looks that he gave when somebody would get hit or somebody was being beaten, or even when his friend in the mall fight, when his friend says, "Are you actually going
to,
will you actually hurt me?" You know?
I'm sorry.
So I think it was building up with Hawk, and I mean, I wish it would have happened sooner, but I'm glad it did finally happen.
Yeah, well, I think the Hulk thing, too, the turn as well, is when Miguel went to him and said, "I like your new friends." And it was Hulk's realization, like, how am I friends with my bullies?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were all, like, repping, like, yeah, this is from Miguel, man. Miguel got fucked up. And Miguel comes back, he's like, "You're all assholes."
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's just like straight up like, and I loved that part of his arc where he's on his feet, but he's not fighting, but he's still walking around with the same level of respect and cachet. Like when he would look at them, like when he just, all he had to do was look at Hawk and give him that like disapproving look, and Hawk felt bad.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was kind of like the spirit of Miguel was stronger than his body at that point.
Yeah.
But one of the things, like, that was one of the things that really stood out to me about that fight that made me feel like this is a weakness in the choreography. I know they're trying to do it to show, like, that you can be overwhelming with your strength if you're bullies. But, you know, like, Hawk turns around after he turns good. And one punch from him to each of those guys, and they're pretty much out of commission for most of the fight. Like, the one kid, he slams through the table, and we don't even see him again.
Yeah.
The dude with the dreadlocks, we see him one more time. But after that, he's weak sauce. And, like, Kyler is a fucking psycho.
Yeah.
He's beating the shit out of Miguel. But when Miguel finally comes around, Miguel punches him once, and he's knocked out. And I'm supposed to feel like that's enough.
Yeah,
like, I was like, no, Miguel, grab a fucking pot and smash that guy's skull open, man. This guy was fucking trying to murder you.
Yeah.
And he was too strong. Like, Kyler coming back and being so aggressive and as strong as he was, I was like, no, man. I wish Hawk would have beat the living shit out of him when they came into the dojo. You know, like, when he beat that fat one.
Although, oh, yeah, that scene where he beats up Brooks was delicious.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
That was
the blood
so
on his knuckles.
Good. when he spits on him at the end of it, oh, I was like, this is like, he is so deep into Cobra Kai. This is totally what happens when you're that deep into this mentality.
Yeah.
I like that you guys bring that up, because even though Hawk was probably one of the smallest guys in Cobra Kai physically, the aggression, even if you're a smaller guy compared to a bigger guy and you have a certain amount of aggression, adrenaline, all that body chemistry takes over at a certain point, and you can overpower somebody, because we all know Kyler was physically probably stronger than all of them, but Hawk, right. The aggression that could come out of Hawk would allow, in real life, that will allow you to overpower almost anybody. I'm not saying to go against Arnold Schwarzenegger or anything like that, but you know, that aggression will overpower strength 9 times out of 10.
No, that makes sense. You know, we all, you know, it's, I'm sure we've all had those few moments where we get in that situation. It's like, I could not fight unless I felt like I really had no other choice. And I felt like I really had no other choice, then I'd be going crazy and I would worry about what I would do, you know, or what would be done to me, you know. Worry
well,
both
early,
ways.
Early in my fight career, I had, I was always too nice of a fighter. I didn't want to, I wanted to win, but I didn't want to hurt people. And the fights that I lost were for that very reason. I wasn't going in there to do what I can do now. I was going in there to see if I can win. Now I'm at a point in my life where I'm 37 years old. If I'm going in the cage, I'm going to make damn sure I win, because one, I'm getting old. I mean, I know that 37 doesn't sound like it, but when you're a professional fighter in a cage, that's fucking old. So I go in there with the mentality now that you may be a nice guy, we may become best friends, but I'm going to kick your ass right now.
Yeah.
We're enemies for a day. We're Cobra Kai for life.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, at this point, I would even want to play. I would never even want to go and compete. I would just want to learn how to do this shit, just so that if anybody fucked with me, like Kyler in season one, I could just be like, all right, dude, you and your friends are toast.
Yeah.
But the other thing that kind of freaked me out, and I think, like, for as much as they justify, like, Tori's level of crazy with this, like, obsessiveness. I mean, like, I know Daniel assumes that Kreese sent them to the house, but I kind of felt like they probably did that without Kreese having to tell them to do it. You know what I mean? And the fact that she shows up, that's kind of messed up.
It's an unspoken leadership thing. I mean, the leader may have not, like, said to go do that. It's kind of like that, who the hell is that serial killer from that killed all those celebrities that died in prison? What was his name? Marilyn Manson.
Charles Manson.
I'm sorry.
The real one.
Charles Manson. He didn't tell those people to go kill those celebrities. They did it on their own. He may have not physically said, hey, I want you to go do this, but they knew that that's what he wanted. I think it's the same way with Tori and Kreese. Kreese may not have sent them, but I think Tori knew that that's something Kreese would have wanted to happen.
There is a delicious Puppet Master moment on the subject from Kreese, where he's like, oh yeah, Diaz and that LaRusso kid, they're making alliances too. They gave a little speech at the All Valley, like, they make a good team. Like, you know, that was just throwing salt in Tori's face. That was saying, like, you're going to take that? Like, so, oh, they're cute. Like, you might as well have been like, they make a cute couple.
And I mean, that's the power of villains, especially villains like Kreese, you know, that they can say one thing and it'll, they want you to do something, but they're not going to say they want you to do it. But because of that one thing that they said, you know, Tori went ballistic knowing that Sam and Miguel were becoming an item again. And I think that's what caused, you know, the fight, the Christmas fight, and I'm sure future fights in season four. I don't think Tori's just going to stop. I think there's too much aggression in her just to stop at this point. I think she's going
to
keep going.
Well, she needs to go to jail now. I mean, this is like, you full-on brought a fucking army of people to my house. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, you brought an army of people. You broke into my house, attacked my kid on Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? Like, there's injured kids all over my home. The LaRussos really stand to be sued pretty hardcore by all the parents of those kids who got beat up. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how much of that starts to come into play.
Yeah. Yeah, because they don't.
Because we also.
I'm sorry, Dave. Well, they don't play enough on the, you know, the punishment of all this karate gang mentality. Because, like I said, in the school, when I got in fights in school, the fights lasted 3 seconds and there was a teacher grabbing you. There's not in Cobra Kai, there's no punishment from authority whatsoever with all these fights. The only punishment you ever saw was when Johnny got into his fight and got thrown in jail. That's the only punishment through all this you see.
Well,
which was one of the funniest lines too. Holy shit. Applebee's guy.
Well, all right. Two things with those. I mean, like, you know, like, I mean, like they did discuss it when they did the parent teacher meeting or whatever the case may be. And they basically said that the teachers are not allowed to put physical hands on any students there. Then the second thing is that in regards with Tori, now, she is on probation.
Yeah.
So all the LaRussos basically have to do is, you know, have Sam and for Sam is just basically go to the cops and she's in juvie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's that, but which I don't think they'll do, but
I should probably get to study hall.
I'm actually headed that way too.
Okay. So, I think enough time has passed for us to be friends again? Or start over?
Hi, I'm Sam. Nice to meet you.
Yo, it's a pleasure.
Yasmin?
Hey, we're just,
doing study work.
Yep.
So you two are...
What? Ew. Ew. No. Like I would ever date this freak.
Whatever, Cruella. Why don't you go kill a bunch of Dalmatians?
I am 101% in love.
I can't believe that just happened.
Another issue that I had with the fight, which, you know, I'm not going to say that I hated the fight. It was an awesome fight to a certain extent, but there was some problems with it. And one of the problems that I found was Tori had the worst wig. I don't know what was up with that, but that
throughout
was
the whole season.
That had to be a wig.
I'm really bad at spotting wigs, but I have seen a lot of people talking about that on social media about Tori's bad wig.
Yeah,
and the second issue I had with that whole scene is when Tori does come in. And obviously she has to do her, like, you know, "I'm coming for you, bitch," you know, line and everything else like that, which is cool. But like when they're fighting and then you see her and Sam are headed to each other and then a Cobra Kai gets in Sam's way and a Miyagi-Do gets in Tori's way. So they fight them off and then they're basically back to back and then they look at each other. And that was like a whole minute where Tori would have struck first.
Yeah,
she would have kicked her first. So Sam is for a whole minute. Tori's just standing there looking at her, and Sam runs away.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, come on. Yeah.
It would have been good, you know, and interesting too, because we have like prior to this, and they even flash back to it where he's like, you know, the only one who can stand up is you. And if like that whole thing where like another Miyagi-Do jumps in her way and Tori just smashes him would have worked if it had inspired Sam to have her moment of bravery there.
Yeah.
Because then she would be striking first and then she would be following more of the Cobra Kai mentality. And it could totally be, here's how we tease that next season to come back from being weak and afraid this whole season, she's going to follow in Daniel's footsteps once more and go the I'm going to go dark route by kind of going, you know, maybe she'll go learn the Quicksilver method.
Yeah.
And I did think for a minute, dude, we almost were going to get a Quicksilver moment at the end of the when the legacy fight was happening. Because I also feel like that was one of the things they had to balance with this time. You know, one, it's impossible to do another fight like this without it immediately being like, okay, which was better, Hall Brawl or Deck the Hall Brawl? And then, you know, they also had to have it short enough to leave enough time for the legend fight at the end, you know? So it was sort of like they had to make it as cool, if not cooler. And I kind of feel like, for me, it landed on as cool, more visible problems. I've rewatched the Hall Brawl from season 2 so many times, and I haven't seen any of these kinds of things that we're nitpicking with this fight. You know what I mean? Like, that has had so much more time to be poured over and torn apart, and I feel like it holds up a little bit better for me than the Deck the Halls brawl does. Mostly just because I think that was the shock factor. We were like, they're really doing this. Like, at one point, there's a shot lined up where there are four fights happening down the hallway in front of us, and I'm like, this is next level right here. That choreography is on point.
Yeah,
right there.
When at the end, when Daniel and Johnny are fighting Cove, I want to see, you know, that whole thing was supposed to be the showdown between the worst of Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do. Well, when they bring Terry Silver in, I think, in my mind right now, I think it's going to be more of a Terry Silver versus Johnny Lawrence type of dynamic than when it was Cove versus LaRusso dynamic. I don't know why, because like Johnny doesn't even know who Terry Silver is.
Yeah,
he said that, but just because of the fact that Cove is evil, very evil, but there's something about Terry Silver that was more sinister because of the punishment he put Daniel through. So when him and Johnny come face to face and Johnny learns what had happened, I think that's going to be an interesting Legends fight.
I just look forward to Silver coming back so much. But, you know, as to the Legend fight, that to me is just something I could just watch over and over and over again. The one thing I would change, I would have added a little bit more time to Daniel versus Kreese.
Yep.
That was a little too quick.
Yep.
Yeah.
But maybe we'll get more. Maybe we'll get more of that someday. You know, the stuff between Johnny and Kreese was excellent.
Yeah.
Though. So good.
And then having Robbie in there as kind of like this, like, X factor, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that was
crucial.
Yeah,
when I saw Johnny storm in there and saw that Robbie was there, I was like, okay, season 4 is going to be epic in my mind from the very beginning just because of that factor right there. I mean, Robbie went from being a street kid to becoming a huge part of Miyagi-Do, and now he's one of the main parts of the most evil part of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, he's their top fighter now,
and when
by
Kreese
far.
Kreese calls him son at the end. That's like, oh.
Oh, he calls him son from the get-go, out of the gate. He calls him son when he shows up at juvie.
Yeah.
He calls him son almost every time they're talking. And that's really what Robbie's been looking for this whole time, is a father figure to say, look, come with me, you'll never lose, and I'll never fucking leave your corner.
Holy shit.
And I mean, we all know
the fact that it's Cobra Kai, it reminds me of James Earl Jones in that first Conan movie when he could just do that hypnotism thing.
Oh,
you know, he's like, yes, come with me, my son, my son, my son. I'm like, oh, dude, he's got Robbie in the mind trap. It is over.
Oh, yeah. And it's so easy. It's so easy for Kreese to connect to Robbie. He's had a much easier time than Daniel or Johnny, you know, like even that thing that, sorry, you had to sleep on the floor. Like, I've slept in worse places. Likewise.
Yeah.
That bond is something he will never have with Daniel. It's something he will never have with Johnny, really. I mean, maybe Johnny slept in worse places, but, you know, Johnny wouldn't say likewise.
Right.
You know.
Or Kreese failed his mission with Johnny. So he's going to use, I mean, we all know he's going to use Robbie to defeat that failure that he made with Johnny. I mean, he wanted to make Johnny the most evil of them all, and I think he's going to turn Robbie into the most evil of them all.
And I didn't even think of this until just now, but what a parallel. And this is one of the things they did really well with the Kreese backstory, is how it paralleled everything that was happening. You know, he doesn't find out until the captain and him are about to go fight on that plank. The captain's like, by the way, your girlfriend at home is dead.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like, holy shit. So Kreese is just like, by the way, I call your boy son.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just like the crushing spirits left and right. Like, this is the lowest blow. Even Sith don't do shit this dirty. my God, man. And also the fact that, like, for a second, like, Daniel was almost going to execute him, and Johnny gave him the nod, like, go ahead, dude, go for it.
Yeah.
From
that point, when Johnny nodded his head to Daniel, I knew from that point that was, I mean, I didn't know, the scene where they all show up at Miyagi-Do, even Johnny at the last minute, but at that scene when Johnny nodded his head, I knew at that point Johnny and Daniel were connected as far as wanting to beat Kreese. From that point on, I knew it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a beautiful moment. Yeah. And the show's good at that. You know, moments that are huge without dialogue. Mm. I mean, that's, you know, that's a lot of what cinema is supposed to be about. You know, it's show and not tell. You know, like I've talked probably many times about that little moment for me, but in season one at the tournament when Daniel first sees Robbie like win and he like almost jumps out of his seat, but he's trying to reserve because he doesn't want to show his emotion.
Yeah.
But you could see he's so proud. You know, like a proud dad. That moment chokes me up every
time. And also the fact that he felt like that kid needed a dad because he showed up without a school, without a coach, and without anybody cheering for him. And he knew what that felt like. And so, you know, so much about the way they do this show, like, is just, it pulls on everything about you. It's hard, I would say, if you don't have these kind of levels of emotions, you must watch this show and be like, why does everyone give a shit? Like, for me, this is so... It touches so much reality, and like, you know, all of us could be any of these characters at any moment. But I also think, like, would we have gotten this with a C. Thomas Howell? No, you need LaRusso to be a hot-blooded Italian guy.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have like these different cultures that blend that aren't necessarily America versus other countries. You know what I mean? That's only been kind of sort of been in play now, you know, in Cobra Kai.
Traditionally, I don't think movies or shows have done a good job on sometimes picking the character, the only character that will fit, or the only actor that will fit that character. I mean, they did perfect in The Karate Kid with Miyagi and Daniel. And the only other franchise, I don't know how much you guys are into X-Men or anything, but Hugh Jackman is Wolverine. They can't replace that in my mind. I mean, he's literally been the only on-screen Wolverine. So what are they going to do? They mentioned Tom Hardy. Tom Hardy's a great actor, but he's not Hugh Jackman.
I don't know if you think making me repeat myself is going to somehow make the story change, or if you just don't want to hear what it is I actually have to say, but again, we changed course based on orders received on the flash band from company headquarters. Code Gold, Command Eyes Only. Standard operating procedure, as I know you are aware. Search and Rescue would rarely venture into an unregulated area without more concrete proof of life. We sure found something out there, all right.
When you watch it as a little kid, you know, it's a monster movie. It's creepy. But then there's all the weird artificial intelligence stuff. There's the, like, rapey nature of the facehuggers and all that.
Why don't you stick your face in the egg, dude? Is there an egg opening in front of you? Stick your face in there and see what happens.
When I fall asleep at night, I have this irrational fear that something is going to crawl inside and, like, lay eggs inside of me. I'm actually wondering, now that we're talking about this, if this might have been the impetus for that.
You know, Star Wars comes out, and they go, what other movies do we have set in space? Boom, Alien gets green light the next day.
Very similar to just even how our government is in preparation for something where they didn't know exactly what was in store, like specifically xenomorphs.
Bodily fluids, and it's not just blood. There's a lot of, like, grease, and there's a lot of sweat. And if it wasn't the blood that got me, it was the sheer amount of sweat.
We're on a mission to bring back knowledge of the xenomorph.
The end of all mankind, all wrapped up in a bow, just waiting for us to come along. You're gonna find yourself staring down the barrel of a living, breathing devil in the flesh that bleeds acid and lives to kill us.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough. The smart money is probably to avoid Wolverine for as long as you can, you know?
Yeah. It's like...
You need to space it out. Like, you know, like, they're going to start doing Batman movies every year. Mm-hmm. They're going to fucking finally figure out a way to ruin the box office receipts of Batman, you know?
They did it with Star Wars.
It's going to do the same thing with Star Wars, and then we're going to get cool Batman shows, so... It'll take 5 years, but eventually something good might come out of it.
Well, Karate Kid went to streaming first, man. They got to the place they should have been.
Oh, yeah.
Right away.
Yeah, they really did. They really what were you going to say,
Mickey? Another part of the story that I liked a lot was that Daniel basically cluing in Miguel on who Johnny Lawrence really is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, yeah.
Miguel was like, his eyes, like, it's almost like Miguel got that connection, like, wait a minute, I'm more like you than I am like Johnny than my sensei.
But he also needed Miguel to give him more, because he's been getting some insight. Like, you've been seeing moments throughout season one and two where Daniel's kind of still questioning Johnny, but maybe coming around a little bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Miguel said something to him like, so, you know, all I know is that she was my sensei's first love, dude. And Daniel's like, oh, shit, she was my first love, too. Like, fuck, you know, maybe we shouldn't have, like, maybe it would make sense. I would fight for my first love, too, if I saw somebody else moving in. In fact, when you think about what he portrayed this story in the second movie of how they broke up, it sounded an awful lot like he was very much like Johnny's response to seeing Allie talking to Daniel on the beach in the first movie. So the fact that they had to, in the course of them coming together as allies and teaming up, I mean, I love that they did it so early. First episode, Tango and Cash, man. Yeah. That was awesome. You know?
Yeah.
I wish that it didn't have to go back to them being at each other's throats before we wind up with them combining their schools. Yeah. You know?
But it's much more believable that way.
True.
One aspect about the whole Cobra Kai, and I mean, it plays into Johnny Lawrence's character, but it doesn't really play into the Cobra Kai storyline as far as a big picture, but the death of his friend Tommy, and I believe season two was that?
Well, when they were out camping,
When his character Johnny died, and that to me, I mean, when they were talking about, you know, the Cobra Kai brotherhood, and once you're a Cobra Kai, you're always a Cobra Kai type of thing, that whole thing about him taking Tommy on a last thrill or whatever, and knowing that Tommy was dying, that right there showed me that Johnny, I don't think he's ever been a bad guy, but Kreese was so powerful that he turned a troubled kid into a bad guy. But that scene where, you know, that he's with Tommy and then he wakes up and Tommy's dead in the forest, and I mean, Johnny's actually crying, that right there showed me that Johnny, even though Daniel is a good guy, Johnny is just as good, if not more pure-hearted than Daniel in a lot of ways.
Yeah, they're an interesting yin-yang of each other. You know, and I think a big theme of season four will be about balance because of that fact. Because I think if they do it right, Johnny and Daniel can really help balance each other.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, there are things, you know, I've put a lot of thought into this already about how they're going to possibly teach these kids. And I think they need to break them down into mini lessons. Like, there are things that I think Daniel could really teach Hawk.
You
know,
shit,
and there are things that I think Johnny could really teach, you know, Dimitri.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, balance for each of these characters.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be a theme. And I do expect a big turn of some kind, of course, because the show loves to do that, you know. And
the funny thing
well.
About mixing that whole Eagle Fang, that's a terrible name, but Eagle Fang and Miyagi. But I think there's all these fan-made pictures of Johnny and Daniel with this Karate Ki gi on with the bonsai tree and the Cobra Kai snake wrapped around it. I think Johnny instills the good part of Cobra Kai, and I don't think in season four he's just going to let Cobra Kai go. I think the whole Eagle Fang is just a temporary thing. I think once they get to a point where Kreese is out of there, I think but Cobra Kai and Miyagi-Do are going to mix, not this Eagle Fang and Miyagi-Do. To me, that doesn't make sense mixing those two things when Eagle Fang just came. That, to me, came out of nowhere, the whole Eagle Fang thing. I just figured, you know, Johnny would just try to establish his own Cobra Kai thing. When they came up with this Eagle Fang thing, that was a disappointment in my mind.
I liked it. I thought it was kind of funny because, you know, when Susie said Eagle Fang, you're like, all right, we get it. This isn't going to last.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
And I mean, I knew why he chose the whole Eagle thing, because, you know, the eagle is the only animal strong enough and aggressive enough to pick up a snake and carry it away and kill it. I get that part, but to just stray away from Cobra Kai so fast when Johnny wanted to reinvent it, that part kind of got to me a little bit. I'm like, I don't think Johnny would just give up on Cobra Kai.
I don't know, though. I mean, I think a good way to reinvent something is to change the fucking name. Like, maybe not try and invent that same thing. Maybe trying to restart Cobra Kai and it getting this far, but then as soon as he did, Kreese comes out of nowhere and corrupts it again. Maybe the only way to ever stop that from happening again is to let it go. I mean,
yeah.
And
to blow
find
it up.
His own
Basically
name.
Blow it up.
Yeah.
And the other thing to remember, too, is when Terry Silver, you know, from the business side of things, he could show up at any time and be like, you're operating on my copyrighted trademark name.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Now you owe me hundreds of thousands of dollars. Everything you've earned from any of these students is mine. You know what I mean? And so it's like there's going to be a need for him. Like, I feel like Kreese gave him, like, one reason to walk away. And even if they start to salvage it, Silver could give him a whole different reason to walk away. And I think the whole, you know, part of both of them letting go of the past, like, maybe it shouldn't even be called Miyagi-Do either.
Yeah.
Maybe it should be called something else. Maybe it should be called, like, Bonsai-Do, you know? Like, something.
I guess the main part, I mean, to be honest, the name itself, I don't fucking like that name. Eagle Fang.
Eagle Fang.
Yeah, that I can't stand that name. There's something cringeworthy about that damn name.
Yeah, and the t-shirts. The t-shirts looks pretty bad too. Everything about it sucked. It was like the ongoing joke of how Johnny is just not good at modern stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like, can't come up with a brand. Yeah. You know, has to recreate the brand he was part of. Can't come up. I mean, like Miguel. Taking him on that whole tour of like taking pictures in front of the angel wings.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
Like,
when
you know,
Johnny was
sushi and shit.
Yeah, Johnny. You know, when Johnny called the pawn shop and says, I still can't find the internet, you know, he didn't understand Wi Fi and stuff. Yeah.
He said it was wireless.
Yeah.
This is so weird.
You look amazing.
Oh, thank you. So do you. God, when was the last time we saw each other?
I think it was senior year.
Senior year. Must have been after the,
Fight! Winner!
Hi, Daniel! You're the best!
Yeah, after that.
Hi there. Are you two ready to order?
You go first.
Sure. I'll have the, vegan mung dal bowl with spiced carrots, turmeric cauliflower, and coconut yogurt.
And female?
I don't know what a mung dal bowl is, so how's the cheeseburger? That's my favorite. Great, I'll get that with fries.
Wait, you know what? Make that too.
All right, you got it. Well, there he is.
Well, we've all felt like that at times, though, for sure.
Yeah.
The man out of time. That's one of the access points, I think, one of the gateways into the show. It's like, do you see it through Johnny's eyes, or do you see it through Daniel's eyes, or do you see it through, maybe some people see it through Kreese's eyes, or the kids, you know, for sure, different generations. You know, brass tacks, when do you guys think we see Silver? Episode 1 of season 4, episode 10?
Well,
somewhere in the middle.
It all depends on who you think Kreese was calling at the end of the season there. And I haven't watched them, but I've seen enough videos on YouTube with the title listed, Who Kreese is Calling at the End of Season 3, in parentheses, It's Not Terry Silver. I'm like, well, fuck you, because that's probably who it is. That's my thought. And so early in the season.
I was trying to think.
He wasn't calling the fucking Ghostbusters.
I was trying to think back. I was trying to think back of anybody that at least was talked about in the Karate Kid movies that Kreese was attached to. Kreese was only attached to one guy ever, and that was Terry Silver.
Terry Silver.
So I mean, I think it was Terry Silver that he called on the phone. I don't think that the producers and the writers are just going to give us Terry Silver in the first episode. I think it's going to be a teaser. I think it's going to come at the least expected moment. I don't think there's going to be in the show itself much talked about, and then out of nowhere he's just going to be there.
Or could he have called Terry? And Terry said, I'm sending you Mike Barnes.
Okay. I mean, I could see that happening.
Quite fucking
possible.
Yeah,
I could see that happening.
Sending my guy.
So you don't get the boss yet. You get the lower boss.
Yeah.
So I mean, like that's the boss. That's at the end of the game.
Yeah.
So like, you know, he goes like, you know what? I got you. I got you, fam.
Yeah.
Here's some Mike Barnes.
Yeah, and Mike Barnes, I've waited for that character, and I thought I wanted actually Mike Barnes to be part of the next Karate Kid movie with Hilary Swank. Unfortunately, he wasn't. But in Cobra Kai, it would make perfect. I mean, Mike Barnes and Terry Silver, if they don't show up in Cobra Kai, I'm going to be disappointed in cinema for the rest of my life. If they don't show up.
Well, the only other thing is that they have to start introducing some new characters that can't be legacy characters, but have to be on that same level.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Terry Silver has to show up. This is my silent partner. You know how I said I got you forever in life? Well, that's because my brother, Jerry Silver over here, is the actual real millionaire. and I'm bringing
it's him. It's Larry Silver, and it'll be played by Larry David. This Miyagi-Do like, stuff. I mean, who has time for all this? The gardening and all the? Really seems presumptuous.
Yeah,
no?
But yeah, I just
oh shit.
Whether they, you know, they bring in Mike Barnes, I don't think they're going to give us Terry Silver. They may bring in Mike Barnes immediately, but I don't think the producer and his writers would give us Terry Silver right off the bat for season 4.
I don't know. I do. I think he'll be early.
He is like the top, you know, card. Yeah. You know, once you pull that card, you don't have something you can top that with legacy wise. He's the emperor. He's the emperor to so many of us. I know I can't be the only one who feels this
way.
Yeah,
no, I'm with you on that.
I mean, it may have been started by John Kreese, but Terry Silver was there from the beginning. Terry Silver made it physically appear as far as being the benefactor of Cobra Kai. Without Terry Silver, I don't think there'd be the Cobra Kai dojo itself. There may have been the philosophy because of John Kreese, but there would be no physical dojo without Terry Silver. So, yeah, in that sense, yeah, he's the... Martin Cove's character, Kreese, is the villain, but I think Terry Silver's going to outdo him in some way as far as being a villain.
You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. That's the word hollow, the number 9, INE. Now broadcasting from our new home on the web, hollow9.com, where you can find info on all of our awesome programming as well as the team behind the shows. Leave us your feedback, join in the conversation, and be a part of the action. Find the Hollow Nine Network on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. Rate and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, or wherever you find your podcasts. Email us at info@hollow9.com or at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
The New Jersey HorrorCon reputation is exploding. The atmosphere you guys have created. New Jersey HorrorCon was my entree into an actual horror convention.
Wow.
And you guys are doing a great job.
That is amazing. I'm super proud and super inspired to hear that. I mean, that's a testament to the community of cons and, you know, of horror and stuff in general.
My God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's wow. Carmen Electra.
Hey.
Wow, we are all nice giving high fives to an absolute icon.
This is incredible.
Trailblazer, amazing. You are amazing. Carmen Electra,
absolutely.
Be well.
Safe. Thank you so much.
Love.
Have a good one. Be well.
So
you can't see it on radio, but
oh,
she's
my
still
God.
Got
yes.
it.
That's absolutely.
My wife. Still
right
got
my
it.
My wife gets the picture of Carmen Electra.
The wife does. There you go, wife. Good job, wife. That's a keeper. That wife's a keeper.
Are you having a blast?
I am having a blast. Are you having a blast?
I am.
This place is awesome, right?
What's your most favorite part of the whole day so far?
When the guy dressed like Gene Simmons from Kiss stopped in front of our booth and we put Strutter on and he did a lip sync to the whole thing.
Guys, if you haven't subscribed yet, go ahead and do that.
Yesterday I bumped into Michael Winslow. I got to have this whole experience where Leslie Easterbrook was lost and looking for her autograph table, and I got to take her all around me.
Okay. It's spooky, actually. I'm going to turn the chair around a little bit
sure.
so I can see you.
Oh, all right.
Keep an eye on you. I saw you and I thought, This guy knows everything.
Oh.
Terrific.
Oh, really?
And
oh.
sound in here with
cool.
you.
Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you. Yeah, it's
really
amazing
clear.
How it... Damon Della Greca of Slasher, this awesome app.
I wanted to do something that would really make it for these people who just love to create, who love horror.
Thank you for what you're doing, dude. It's
Thank
great
you.
That you put this together.
Absolutely, man. It's always good to see you.
We're trying to have as much fun, and we want people to have fun with us, and that's why we got guys like you stop by the table, hang out. We get to do the radio thing for a little bit.
He's from Jersey. I'm from the South, so.
And I'm from the Bronx, so.
So we're all still
okay.
friends. That's good.
So we're
that's
all good.
Good.
Daniel Frankenstein. I'm representing psychothematicmedia.com. Call ourselves a creative collective.
My name is Gail Bykowitz.
Yeah, I'm Hector De La Rosa. We're partners in crime here. We're doing special effects makeup, and we're also independent filmmakers.
When I ran into them earlier, they were definitely vampire cowboys.
I love Better Off Dead. I love Villain Heads. And I'm just so glad that you guys remember
those
films.
Oh my god, those movies. I would go to school and just try and talk like Bill and Ted all day.
Triumphant.
I want my $2, man.
Right?
I have walked around wanting those $2 for how many years now?
This is fantastic.
Oh.
But of course, I'm never
we need some language lessons.
David Clone from the Hollow Knight Network, and by now you know what it's time for you to do. Let's go on over to NewJerseyHorrorCon.com, get yourself some tickets, and check out this awesome event where we are lifetime sponsors. We will be there from now until infinitum with all these incredible guests that are going to be at the next one, bringing you all the awesome from the show floor right to your digital door, right here at Hollow9.com at the New Jersey Horror Con and Film Festival.
Did you get it? I hope you got it.
I got it.
That's good. See you soon.